glitched. Turn with me to Hebrews 11, and we will start at verse 34. Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we're made strong. And I think you have to build on all of this because it's not just saying a bunch of random things. It is building on the reality that has gone before, the reality that, Gideon had such a poor self-image that he couldn't depend on his own self and had no trust in himself. Gideon, remember? God says to him, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." And he says, "You talking to me?" that's my paraphrase, but that reality that God was calling him something that God saw him to be in union with Christ, and he was so wrapped up in his own freak outs and worries. He just stole some grain, a little bit of grain. The Philistines were hunting him down, and he's hiding from them. And God finds him hiding, and he says, "Hail, thou mighty man of valor." And he's going, "Look, I'm a thief and a scaredy cat." And God says, "No, you're not. That's not who you are. That may be how your parents messed with you, or your teachers, or your brothers and sisters, or your whatever. And you may have a poor self-image, but I need to rebuild that image in you." So all of this is built into this going up to this point. So when it says, out of weakness we're made strong, became valiant in fight, that's the actual translation. It doesn't say they were valiant. Hail thou mighty man of valor, became. Well, you only become anything by Christ. If you're anything in yourself, are you any different than a Buddhist or somebody else of another religion who's trying to be patient and working on patience? And why does your patience count and theirs don't? You see what I'm saying? Well, because, I don't know. No, our patience, what does it say in Galatians 5? It says that there is a inward character change. What is that? Galatians 5, 24 and 22, I guess, 22, 23. There's an inward character change. No, it's not an inward character change, ultimately. It's Christ in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Okay, well, if that's the fruit of the nature of Christ, the Spirit of Christ, then it's love, joy, peace. If it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit working His nature, His character within us. Yes, there is a character change. No, you're not the character. It's Christ, and it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's where your trust is. And that's the difference between a Buddhist or another religion who is becoming patient and love and joy. And they might be seeking all the same things, but they're not seeking Christ. They're seeking to become that. And when they do, they have attained. They have arrived. They are an ascended master, Well, no, you're just under the law trying to earn something that you can never be, because God's not trying to get certain rules kept or certain character. He's trying to get His Son in you. Hebrews 1, verse 2, now we're in Hebrews 11. That has never changed from start to finish to this point, and it is still God's reality, and it's still what He's working toward here. So, out of weakness became strong, and became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Okay, what do we get out of that? Most people, when they read that, they go, "Oh, praise God, if my kid ever dies, I can pray and Jesus will raise him from the dead." That's not what it's trying to to solidify in our being. It's trying to solidify faith. This is a chapter on faith, is it not? And the subject of faith is the faith, as we've seen throughout this whole chapter, is a belief in life out of death, a belief that there will be an increase of Christ if we go down into death, a belief that if we decrease, he will increase, a belief that the only hope for Christianity or the world is not harder preaching, door to door, you know, praying, big tent meetings. It's by going into death. That's what this whole book's been about. We're wrapping it up right now. Women receive their dead raised to life again. Based on what? Faith. Based on faith. The faith of Hebrews 11. So, but then he said, you know, verse 35, women received their dead again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. There it is, folks. You will not find a more clear reality here. This is saying that there are people actually who believe in faith who will not receive a deliverance, will not ask God for a deliverance because they want to stay in death to have a greater resurrection. Because the greater the death, the greater the resurrection. The deeper the death, the higher the resurrection. Amen? Is it saying that or did I twist that? I mean, it just says it. I mean, it just says it. Yes, go ahead.
And I know that kind of just that greater resurrection that those people are not receiving it for is for others.
Right.
The heart of the Christ, the giving nature, the cross, the Lamb.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, it's sort of funny to read these verses religiously, in a religious manner. I don't mean religiously regularly. I mean reading them in a religious manner, where we say, and others not accepting deliverance so that they could have a better resurrection. And we hold that doctrine in our hearts as we look to heaven and say, oh, glory, glory. Folks, listen again, see if you missed a key word here. And others were tortured. Okay. Yeah, I'll catch him in a second. I want to finish my point here. Others were tortured. Come on. Anybody ever thought about being tortured for Christ? You know. I don't know. You know, and I've had people come to me. You've heard this story, some of you. You know, people come to me and go, I'm scared. I'm afraid if I get tortured, I'll deny Jesus, you know. And I said, you don't have to worry. The grace that you'll need for that moment will be at that moment, not right now. You don't have that grace right now, so no wonder you're all freaked out. But it'll be there. But, you know, I mean, we go through all this stuff. I mean, I've, you know, personally, you know, they say, well, they're going to take pliers and start pulling your teeth out. I've had them knocked out. Take them. You know, the news I got is you can get some more put in. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I mean, you know, we're going, I don't want to look. You don't have to. Just go to get a dentist afterward. You know, but we're so, you know, that I want to save my present beauty. Your present beauty is supposed to be Christ in you. Amen? I know that's hard for this group because we got such good-looking people in this church. But nonetheless, this is the truth and this is what we must embrace. These people were being tortured and said, and could have gotten a deliverance and said, no, I'm not just being tortured. Anybody get that? I am embracing a death with Christ out of which is going to come life.
What Shay was saying about, you know, not their life, it goes just a few verses later, it says, and all these having obtained a good testimony through faith did not receive the promise. You know, that it wasn't something that came to them. It was something that came to
to others.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, and we've seen major examples of that in this chapter, haven't we? Major examples. Yes.
I believe too that until the Son is revealed in us, which is in Son, we can't comprehend the spirit of the faith and the joy of going into death for others. It is torturous to Adam, but to the Son, it is the spirit of going into that death is by the Son. Oh man, it is amazingly different than what we experience.
And let me say, if you've seen that, for example, if Kelly's seen that and she's declaring that with joy and shining face and everything, and we haven't seen it, and everything is just torture and whatever, then someone can look and say, well, they're just trying to make me, you know what I'm saying? Well, they're just, you know. No, there is a reality. It's right here in the Word of God. It's God's word. It's not my word. Because I stand on it doesn't make it mine. It's still His. And I just choose to go with what this says, in spite of what people say or whatever. But this is the truth. And this whole book of, or whole chapter of Hebrews 11 has declared it over and over. It is the eternal story. It is the eternal song. And you can choose to sing along, or you can sing somebody else's that's not eternal. You know, but that's the song right there. And that's what's being sung by every one of these people. All the people that we respect in the Bible, folks. This is their anthem that they believe in, this life out of death. And I mean, this not accepting deliverance, that when I first came to the Lord, that would be unheard of to me. You know, it's like Paul and Silas, remember when they're in prison? And, you know, they're sitting in there, and here they are, they're chained up, they're in prison. I've always laughed because he was a Roman citizen, so they would chain a Roman guard on one side of him and on another side of him. But who was really the captive? These guys couldn't run away. Paul's going, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you about the cross. They go, get me out of here. No, you're stuck, dudes. You know? It's all in your attitude. It's all in how you approach everything. And so Paul and Silas are in prison singing. Singing to the Lord. You know, they're not going, oh, God, get me out of here. Wah, wah, wah. I'm going through something. Stop going through something and get with the Lord. Make it one of those all things that work together for good to those who want to be conformed. But we just, you know, I've got two things I'm going through with the Lord, but I've got 10 things that are overwhelming me that I choose not to join it to the Lord and make it something that's going to bring forth Christ out of me or for someone else as I go into death. Anybody see what I'm talking about? So, they're sitting in that prison and they're singing. And all of a sudden, an earthquake comes. Where do you think that came from? Satan? No, God. And it shook the place and all the doors popped open and their chains fell off. And what happens? I'm reading that, and I notice these guys don't jump up and run out and go, the Lord freed us! They stayed right there. They didn't move at all. And the jailer comes in and goes, oh my God! You know, this is terrible. They're, you know, it's a Roman city, so he's probably going to be killed for this. The other guys ran away, and so he's about to kill himself, and Paul says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. We've already gone into death. Jesus has already gone into death. And the guy ends up receiving that same life. Okay. Not accepting deliverance. I was told that's what you do. I was told it's about miracles. I was told it's not about miracles. It's about life out of death. Is it miraculous? Yes. But it's not what we always perceive it to be. There has to be a death. There has to be a death. And so these, not, I mean, those words right there in Hebrews 11, not accepting, not, I do not accept deliverance. God comes to you and says, I'll let you out of this. You know? We've had that at the Bible school. God come to certain people and say, well, if you can't stand this, I'll give you a way out. I'll give you a deliverance. I'll open the door and let you run. And they said, okay, and they ran. But folks, wasn't God's best. Am I upset about it? No, I'd rather people not be here unless they truly comprehend God's heart concerning these things. But I don't know that it always ends well when you put Jesus second or third or fifth or whatever. Yes.
Kind of wiggle room to get yourself out, looking for the way to escape into scriptural. But, and I sort of, I really actually live in this fear, and it's a really actually a holy fear. I know that God's brought me to new creation as at such a time as this. It's eternal. I do not want to short circuit that. I want to stay within that boundary, that framework, or that box. I want to stay put. I don't want to forget myself. Could I? Oh, yeah, I could. I know I could. But down the road somewhere, maybe a day, 10 years, 20 years, I'll say to myself, I'll never go back. I'll never gain back. And it's like that good and acceptable perfect word of God is gone. It's like that one opportunity to put yourself on the altar and say, this is it. It's finalizing. You know, I'm not going to feel about it. You know, it gets there's times when the Lord has given me that choice, and I'll say, no, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I want your best. In fact, my whole desire is, may your will be done, and may your kingdom come. I don't want my will, I don't want my, in fact, that's for the Spirit, God.
Yeah.
Don't even go there, God. Let's not even discuss that.
For all.
Let's go for God. You know, I don't care if the fire gets hotter, or whatever the crazy stuff, let's do it together, God. Let's do it.
Okay, so this is my last class. I want to get all this in. So let's consider this not accepting deliverance, that there would be a greater resurrection. Let's consider some of the rest of it here in these other verses. Trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Okay, you know, mockings. Anybody ever really been mocked? Scourging. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tested, were slain with the sword. See, this is all just testing their faith. It's testing what? Their faith. What is the faith? Life out of death. God is testing your faith. Do you believe in life out of death? Do you believe in he must increase and you must decrease? Do you believe in that? And if you do, then this is a test of your faith, in not in the way they describe it out there, but in the way God has determined it to be. And so, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Well, what's that remind you of? The scapegoat. The scapegoat. And Jesus was a scapegoat, and Jesus accepted that, and he accepted the debt, and he let people say and do and pronounce over him any and everything that came to their little vicious minds, and he bore it, and he was like the scapegoat. In the manner of the scapegoat, though he is the true scapegoat, and that was only a type, all of us put on him, and he wandered, just like what the scapegoat does. They wandered about in sheepskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world is not worthy. My God. This world doesn't deserve that kind of life. Well, what kind of life is that? It's our Jesus. It's our Jesus. It's not us. It's our Jesus. It's the one we love supremely. It's the one that you know, I mean, if I had a choice of choosing what gospel I would go after, I would go after the prosperity gospel. Do you know how I know that? Because that's where I started with. I started with that. And then I said, I need to know the Word of God if I'm going to be doing this the rest of my life. And this place opened. It was a Bible school. And I thought, I'll go to this Bible school, not knowing fully what they taught. But I fasted and prayed because all my friends said, well, we're going to go to this Bible school and we're going to learn more about the Bible. And I said, well, I'm not going to just go because I want to. And I fasted and prayed. And I asked God for a revelation of himself. And he showed me Noah and he showed me the cross. I'm like, 2 months old in the Lord. And he showed me the cross in Noah. And he showed me that reality. And from that, I perceived he was saying, go to this Bible school. And in that Bible school, they taught Christ and him crucified. And I had no clue what that was or whatever, other than God said, I'm answering your prayers by showing you the cross. And that's what I want you to do. Well, again, if I wanted to be comfortable, you know, I would have stayed with the other one. But I wanted the Lord. And I'm not saying they don't have the Lord. You know better than that. That's not my spirit at all. You know, I'm saying I want the Lord as my life. And to get that, he must increase and I must decrease. To get that, I must be crucified so that Christ can live in me. That's the Bible. Yes. They don't teach that. I'm not down on them for not teaching them. I just know what my Bible says, and I have to do what mine says. I'm not sure there's have those scriptures in there, but I'm going with mine. All right, and then let's see, verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Wow. But listen to this, all these having received witness through faith, received not the promise. This is in line with this up here, not accepting delivery. They're not accepting it. They're believing it for others. This is what Scott was trying to say. They're going into a death that others may receive. Just like when we read Isaac on his deathbed, went into death for the next generation, Jacob. And Jacob on his deathbed went into death for the next generation, Joseph. And Joseph on his deathbed. It's all right here in Hebrews 11. And the progression is there. And these all having received witness through faith. God's witness of you and God's embrace of you is according to the cross. It's not according to a religious system that you believe. It's according to Christ. And it's according to Christ and him crucified. And the Christ that he offers us is a crucified lamb. I mean, from the moment you met Jesus and got saved, what did you bow in your heart to? Well, I got saved in the 60s and I had long hair and was a hippie. And in my mind, I saw this guy with long hair and beard and all, you know, little beard right here and this sort of thing with this long white robe and this rope tied right here and sandals. Pretty much what I was wearing, you know, back then. And that's what I saw him sitting on a throne. And I said, oh, Jesus, I receive you. And I saw this cross sort of back over here somewhere a long time ago that he died on. You understand what I'm saying? And that did a work. I got news for you. That lamb, that Jesus that's on the throne is a lamb, and he's a lamb as though he had been slain, and that's the one that we're supposed to be bowing to. And not a cross of a long time ago, but of the way of the cross. Not just the message of the cross, but the way of the cross, which is the way of what? The lamb. You follow the lamb whithersoever he goeth. Is that in the Word of God? How's that in? I don't know. Okay. So they, like the elders now, remember in verse 2, through faith we understand. Let's see. It wasn't verse 2. It was. For by it the elders receive witness. Remember what we talked about? The elders were Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It's all of these guys. And by faith, God witnessed that you got it. You got the right stuff. You've got this correct kind of faith. And now it's talking about these guys that aren't famous, that refuse any sort of resurrection in this life. And it won't even mention their names, because they're truly in death. Won't even mention their names. It's beautiful if you see it. They don't want their name mentioned. The only name they want to be identified with is the Lamb of God. And so, I love this. Receive witness through faith. Receive not the promises, God having provided some better thing for us. Let's read this. That they without us should not be made perfect. Okay. So here's how we read this. God having provided some better thing for us. Well, that's heaven. Well, that's what we say. We say it's heaven. Okay. But all through this book of Hebrews, it is constantly talked about the better thing, the better covenant, the better testament, the what is it, Abel with the better, offering and all that. But it's all talking about something that's better, that's better, that's better. Well, I got news for you. There ain't nothing better until God introduces His Son. That Son is the fulfillment of everything that ever went before. It's not the fulfillment of just the regular things. It's the fulfillment of the highest glory of God, the tabernacle. No, that's Jesus' body. The altar. No, that's the cross. The priesthood. No, that represents Christ. All, every aspect going right down. That's this book of Hebrews. If it's not in Son, it's not better. Well, I'm going to a better church. Are you now? I mean, you know, are you? The only church I know is the church which is His body. And if we're not living as His body, then we're living as individuals trying to serve God apart from Him. It's not better. Can I say it? It's worse. It's worse. Oh, but they have stained glass. Well, you know, give me a couple of bucks and I'll make a little section on that top window up there and we'll put a little piece of stained glass in there. I mean, I was raised United Methodist. I love stained glass. Okay? I mean, you can't love stained glass much better unless you're Catholic. You know, but I love stained glass. And I remember as a little boy in the back, I mean, as you look forward to the church, big, huge, and Jesus holding a little lamb. I had no clue He was the Lamb. All I saw was Him petting this little lamb. Can you see Jesus walking around Israel petting lambs? He's walking around going, every one of you are going to die. You exist for one purpose, and that is for the altars. Because that's what Israel was. They were an agricultural nation who raised sheep for offerings. He didn't go, oh, you cute little thing. He's the Lamb of God. He's not the sheep of God. He's the little lamb for death. Yes. We don't pick Him up. Oh, He's just so cute, little fluffy cloud, you know. No, we say you exist for one reason. And every lamb that was born into Israel exists for one reason. Can you hear the shepherd looking at his flock and going, one day you'll all go to the altar. You know. Whole bunch of you on one particular day called the Passover. Yeah. And as I've said before, they don't understand that. So when the shepherd comes in and says, I need some lambs, they're going, choose me! Not knowing what they're volunteering for. Because they don't know what's in his heart. The cross and oneness with Him and one of the same kind, after the same kind. I just realized while I'm drinking two of these, I forgot to drink anything today, too. It's like, woo. Okay, but let's get this full picture, 39. And these all, having received witness through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. The better thing that he's providing here, folks, is the resurrection. The better thing is that some of these people are not receiving the promise so that they can come up in resurrection. And guess what? That makes us all of one, death and resurrection. That is... You know, I don't want to get into that because I'll be sharing that next semester. But that's both sides of Christ. Death and resurrection. Death again, resurrection. Death and always this self-giving for others. Always. It's who he is. It's the way he is. He cannot be any other way, and he will not be any other way. If he ever turned, he would no longer be God. Because that's the being of God. Do you understand? I mean, we turn on a dime, but he can't. He must be self-given, and if he ever does anything contrary to it, he ceases to be God.
That's right.
Yes. Well, guess what? We're one with Jesus. We're one with this guy. Well, I know, and that means, you know, it's kind of like modern-day marriage. Well, that means I get the ring, and I get the house, and I get a car, and I'm one with him. No, that means you get his nature, and you live with him the way he lives. And you die with him the way he dies. And you give for others the way he gives. And you don't put yourself first, and you don't put your comfort first, and you don't do that. But you don't do that out of torture or out of some sort of a Buddhist mentality. You do that because it's Christ in you to do it. And guess what? If it's not Christ in you to do it, don't do it. Run away. I mean, it's better not to be here because then it just looks bad. Things get ugly. I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean, just being real here. But, you know, I'd never put that on anybody. But for those of us who understand, we want to live this way. You try to take it away from us. We, you know, not accepting deliverance. Well, I can get you all out of that, but you're going to have to go back on the Lamb of God. You're going to have to join the other side and start nailing him up there instead of you being one with him. I don't think so. I'm not going to accept that kind of deliverance. I'm one with the Lamb. I'm married to the Lamb. I'm the wife of the Lamb. I'm the body of this kind of Jesus. You know, as was stated by several here tonight, I can't go back on that. All right, so some better thing for us that they without us are not made perfect, because there is this union of whoever goes into death is partaker of what comes up in the harvest. You understand? It's one. You're working together. You know, a farmer, he will go and he'll plow his fields, and then he'll put seed in the ground, and then he'll water and fertilize, and then he'll come back, and then he'll start growing, and he'll get the bugs off, and he'll do all of this stuff, and then he'll pick the fruit, and then and then the harvest is over. The harvest started with simply breaking up the ground. Didn't look like much of a deal, but down here, he's gathering in the fruit. Well, folks, in God's plan, that harvest time period covers a long, long time. And Jesus said, some are going to sow and some are going to reap. Some will reap upon that which you've sown. That's what he said to his 12 disciples. See, everybody wants to reap. I mean, in all the church, that's what they're going. I want, you know, I want the blessing of God. I want. They're all basically, their terminology is giving them away. They're saying, I just want to reap. I don't ever want to go into death. You go into death. In fact, they don't even want you to go into death. They want to talk you out of it. You know, well, if that happened, imagine a farmer going out and just sitting down on the clods and going, well, I want blessing. I want a harvest. I want something, you know. It's not going to happen. Seeds have to go into the ground and die. And Jesus said, they will reap upon that which you have sown. Well, guess what? We've seen that, didn't we? We saw that in Hebrews 11, that this person went into death so that the next generation, Abraham for Isaac, Isaac for Jacob, Jacob for Joseph, an ongoing family spirit, an ongoing eternal song, an ongoing way of life, God's way in man on the earth, somewhere, you know. Here it's over here in this part with Abraham when he first comes out. And then over here it's Isaac living in Hebron. And then it's Jacob down in Haran. And then it's Joseph down in Egypt. But somewhere on this earth, God looks and he says, that's mine. And he doesn't see everything else. His eyes are running to and fro over all the earth looking for that which is akin to him, which is joined to him. That's what the Bible says. We're going, do you see me? Does it feel like sometimes he doesn't see us? It's like his eyes are running to and fro. It's like, you know, if you ever heard about these people lost in the wilderness and the airplane goes by and they're jumping up and down, go, here I am. And then the thing keeps going. You go, no. That's pretty much your Christian life, isn't it? You want to get seen? It's got to be Christ. It's got to be Christ by death and resurrection. You see? And then that's the witness he keeps talking about over and over in this chapter. All right. So God has provided some better thing. Death and resurrection. That's what it's talking about. And it's talking about, but when it's done, this harvest is so big that there's going to have to be some early on that sow and some that reap towards the end, but they're all of one. It's all one spirit. They're all together in it. All right. All right. So now we're going to do a little leap. We're going to go ahead and how much time do I have left? Okay, well, that's assuming I want to keep everybody here much later. Let's leap over to chapter 12, verse 1, which, by the way, when this was written, there was no chapter dividing. There were no numbers. This was just the next sentence. You know, we go, okay, well, I read that. I got that down. Oh, new stuff. No, next sentence. You know, I mean, somebody writes a paragraph to you. Do you just like stop, divide it up, and then take this and read it, and then come back later and study the next sentence? And, you know. Well, we do that with God, you know. Okay, first one, Hebrews 12. First of all, you never believed that we would get through this chapter, did you? But there is a God, and he lives. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Oh my God, do you know who these witnesses are? These are all these people of faith who have themselves believed in life out of death, who have believed in going down into death for the next generation, who believed in decreasing so that Christ would increase in others. Paul said, death works in me, but life is working in you, and being content with that, happy with that. They're getting glory. They're getting honor. The resurrection, the fruit's coming up, and nobody sees it. You know what I'm saying? I'm using an example of that. I'm wandering in deserts and in sheepskin and clothing, you know, and as an outcast, and everybody just sees a reprobate, but over there they see fruit and life coming up. Well, where did that come from? It doesn't just magically appear. We go, oh God, I'm going to fast and pray until God ends up using me mightily. I'm going to, you know, just keep after the Lord. I want to be used by you. And he's thinking, in your present state, I cannot use you. He's going, look, you're just, you know, it'd be like putting on, you know, sewer gloves to touch, you know, lay my hands on somebody. and you being that sewer glove, you know. Oh, I bless you, my child. Lord, what's this thing between you and me? Oh, that's Brother so-and-so. You know, he's not going to wash you off. He's going to put you to death so that Christ is your life. I mean, do we love Jesus? Do we?
Yes.
Okay. I just love it. This great cloud of witnesses. Do you understand what that means? I mean, you know, when I first read this as a young Christian, I just pictured this cloud. And you know, there were all these people who were Christians. And they're all hanging over the edge. And they're going, go, 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 go. You know, kind of like at the Mavs game. Go, 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 you know. Yeah, yeah. And I'm going, yeah, 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 yeah. You know? And I'm going because I'm being cheered on by a big crowd of Christians. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about these same witnesses that it keeps talking about. Remember, it keeps doing this. There's about three or four times in the 11th chapter that it has told you what these witnesses are. They're the ones God has bore witness to because they had a faith that believes in life out of death. Because they had those who not just had a faith, ethereal, nothing to it, just a theology. They all went into death. And you know what? In the Greek, it does literally say that they're hanging over the edge with anticipation, but not in the way I just described it. What they're doing is they have believed the true report of God. And they have embraced this reality of Christ and Him crucified, not just Christ. Christ and Him crucified. And they did it for one another so that the population of all of these witnesses is the result of all these witnesses. By Christ. In each and every one of them. And so they're looking with anticipation. Grasp this message. Grasp this reality. Be willing. Don't, you know, because see, they know the true reality. I mean, they've passed on and everything. We're thinking, well, you know, I don't want to get too heavy into this Jesus thing. You know, we need to be balanced. What? Okay, you got Jesus over here. What are you going to balance him with? Tell me what you're going to put on the other side that's worthy. I mean, tell me what you're going to put on the other side. I'm just going to use this as an example. Tell me what you're going to put on the other side over here that you're willing to stand before God and say, well, I just balanced Jesus out with. I mean, if you think of it like that, you go, geez, I need to rethink this thing. No, you don't need to rethink it. You need to have your stinking thinking annihilated and have Christ revealed in you. So this great crowd of witnesses, they are they who have lived it. And you are to be the fruit of their death. And eventually, the ones who go into death to bring forth other fruit. You see how that works? It's just this ongoing thing. It just keeps going. You receive the resurrection. You get life. You get all this. Where'd it come from? It comes only out of death. Someone died. Somewhere. Something. Someone died. And so you get the resurrection. You get the life. You get the benefits. You get the blessing. But there comes a day when God says, okay, I want to deal with you different. I want you to go into death so that others may also have this. Are you willing? Are you going to close up and be selfish and say, no? That, I mean, how, if you did that and, quote unquote, got to heaven, how could you hold your face up? How could you hold your head up walking down the pearly gates looking at Joseph, who went into death so that his brothers, so that that true resurrection would come forth. How could you even talk to Abraham or David or any of these witnesses that are there who gave away everything so that Christ may come forth, so that there'd be more life? How could you live in an environment of those who are completely selfless and have lived that way so that you would have it? How could you, you know? And I know, you know, I'm painting a weird picture, and, you know, but come on. I mean, I have a hard enough time walking daily knowing that these guys, they have gone before, and they lived it, and they died for it, and they've held it high, and they're still holding it high. And yes, they are rooting you on, but they're rooting you on. They're encouraging you on to the cross. That's what's looking at you. It's not a bunch of people going, go, go, Randy, go, go, run the race, win the prize, be a big shot. I mean, the witnesses here, I mean, we talk about witnessing. We're talking about witnessing. What are we making people? You know why a lot of people don't witness? You know why they don't witness to other people? Because they're afraid the person they would talk to will end up turning out just like they are. I don't want to talk to you. You'll end up like me. And I need help. Let somebody, you know, I mean, am I right or wrong? I mean, that's a factor. We go, well, I don't think I want to win anybody to the Lord if they're going to, you know, if the fruit of that is going to be more of me, forget it. Well, the witness, folks, you can catch that in Acts chapter 1, where it talks about, it says, you shall receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive the Holy Ghost, and you shall be witnesses. What is that word in the Greek? Martyrs. Yeah, look it up. It's not, I'm going to go witness to you. You need Jesus. No, you need to go into death. You want to be a witness? These guys, this great cloud, they all went into death. They're all the true witnesses. Well, they are. Got quiet. You want me to share something encouraging? I can't imagine this wouldn't be the most exciting thing. I would love to be sitting out there and you saying all this stuff, because these are our brothers. These are family. This is the family spirit, and we're carrying that on, and we're dedicated to carrying it on by Christ and by Christ alone. Well, we're not done yet. So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. All right. Well, so we go, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to the altar and I'm going to lay aside my sin. Well, good. That's a good idea. Do it. Because it's easily besetting you. I mean, you know, come on, folks. This is absolutely true. How are we going to walk in the fullness of Christ if we can't walk out of agreement with? All right. That's enough on that. Safe Wednesday's coming. But that's not the only thing it's addressing. It says, and the weight. Lay aside the weight. Well, what is all that? Well, that pertains to holding back when it comes to the cross.
Yes. The scripture.
Well, say it.
In Acts 2, we talk about predestined.
Like I'm a pope. Go ahead.
We talk about predestined, right, in Acts 2. And then if you keep reading on, Acts 4:28 says, to do whatever your hand and your purpose predestined to occur. To do whatever your hand. So we just took historical books, the cupbearer. What do you have in your hand? What do you have in your hand? To do whatever your hand. If your hands are all full of all of you and all your stuff and all your everything, you're not
going
to be able to do it.
Amen. Well, and you know, another side of that, and that's really good, but another side of it is we are his body, right? So we're his hands, right? Well, have you ever looked at his hands? They got scars in them, folks, from the cross. And he's not ashamed of them. He never, you know, notice the picture. I mean, he never tries to hide his scars. He's proud of them. He gave his life for them. That they are not shameful things to him. It is the fruit and the result of self-giving to the max. Well, where are his hands? Where's the nail scars in us? Well, we're the body of Christ. Where's his feet? We take Jesus. I'm going to take Jesus to Arkansas. Where's the nail scars? I mean, if we're his feet, we're not just for him. We're without those spikes limit where you go, what you do. You're involved. You're nailed to a cross. That's where your center is. That's where your core is. Somebody says, I need to get centered. Well, that's a fact. The center of heaven and earth, the center of all time, in the fullness of time, Christ came and he died. There's the center. There it is. Okay. Lay aside every weight. So that's not just sinful things. That's stuff that's holding you, weighting you down. Listen, folks, we are running a race, but the race that we're running is a race of conforming to Christ. You know, I have things to say, but I'm not going to say them. Because when I say them, you think that's me, and I know better. I don't speak unless I feel like I've heard from the Lord. But I'm not going to say it. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to challenge you. You asked the Lord what I was going to say, and I held back. You find out what he wants to say, because there's stuff he wants to say to you about these weights and all this stuff that you condone and even honor that are holding you back. And it's like somebody running in a race. He's got all this, and it's not even, you know, I mean, some of it's sin, maybe, but for some, maybe there is no sin. It's just weights. It's just stuff they're involved in or stuff they hold is important when it's not, and trying to run, and you got all this weight. You're wondering why everybody's, you know, it's like, well, everybody's just smarter than me, or everybody's more committed than me. Everybody, you know, and it's looking at stuff as if God himself has ordained certain ones, and he's just not really pushing you forward like you hoped that he would. It's not that at all. It's not that at all. You go after Jesus, and God will honor every step. It says that of Samuel, that he didn't let one thing fall from his steps. Everything. But you have to go, I mean, you have to love Jesus more than you love yourself. And we say we do, but that scripture tells us we don't. And this is all about faith and those who are involved in it. And he is saying, you who I'm talking to, there is a cloud of witnesses who has put me first, and they've embraced my lamb nature, and they've gone after me with all they've got. We keep puttering around, fooling around, and half-heartedly doing it. But you know what? When you come here, that half-hearted puttering around is so much more than we ever did before we came here. So it feels like I am on top of the world, and we need Jesus. And I'm not meaning you. I just happened to be looking at you when I said that. We all do. But I just wanted you to know. Well, I get accused of that. You know, my eyes fall when I say something. And they go, he thinks that I'm. No, I think all of you need Jesus. I need you. I want Jesus. And I am not fooling around, and I don't have time for a bunch of stuff that's holding me back. And I mean, you know, and don't you, some of you, haven't you ever felt like I want to go for God? And, you know, your heart seems in it, and it's just like there's things like ropes and stuff, you know, holding, and you're trying to go for Jesus, and you don't know why you can't just break through and just go. Well, it's not first and foremost just your heart. Yes, your heart has to be there, but we say, I have a heart after God. But a heart after God will say, that weight, that sin, you're going. I want Jesus. I don't have a lot of, you know, time. I don't have a lot of years. And I said that when I was in my 30s. I was saying that, well, Scott knows, and Carol knows, they heard me. Do I sound much different than them? Maybe a little more Jesus, hopefully, but the same fire because, doggone it, I want Jesus, and I just don't have time for a bunch of this stuff that's holding me back or would try to hold me back. And we, you know, I want to make an impact. I want to make a difference. What starts in making a difference in those little things every day?
Yes.
They all add up. And if we don't deal with the little things, there ain't going to be no big thing down the road. And I don't mean that in any other way other than that's just fact. I mean, there's, you know, there's nothing hidden about that. All right. So, and let us run the race with run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay. Now, let's just check here. What is the race that is set before us? What is it talking about? Valerie?
What's it?
Life out of death? Anybody? Basically, conforming to Christ so that we have the Lamb nature, which is exactly what Mallory described as life out of death. A selfless putting of Jesus and others first. Whether anyone recognizes you're doing that or not. Because you're not doing it to be seen and known of men. All right. So one of the things I like to do is say, okay, let us run the race with patience. Well, how do you know, Brother Randy, that that's talking about this same spirit of life out of death and Christ, you know, the Lamb spirit and dying so that others might... How do you know that? Well, number one, I got a whole chapter in front of me. But if that's not enough... I got a bunch of, you know, because the whole chapter has described the individual lives of all of these people and all of them. Abraham, as good as dead, brings forth new life. You know? Over and over, you have the story. You have then this story. Years passed. Someone new over here. Then over here. It's not everywhere, but it's someplace.
Yeah.
And so it's happening, it's happening. But then he gets to the end of that and he says, okay, let us look above all of those people and all their situation. They make up a cloud of witnesses that this is the truth. They will be our witnesses against us if we turn our back on Christ and Him crucified. You know what I'm saying. I'm not, you know, God help all of you who go into condemnation. Because I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm just full of a good matter. That's the only way I know how to describe it. I'm just full of a good matter. All right, so he takes it off of all these individuals, and then he says, guess what? They're all gathered up in this great cloud, and they're all a witness of this reality, and they're all encouraging you to be one with them in running this race in this same spirit, in this same way, right?
Yes.
Okay, but the good thing is, he didn't leave it at that. I like it. You know, a lot of people say Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I don't know. It doesn't say. I know people just say, well, it's Paul. Well, Paul says, you know, they read Hebrews and they go, well, Paul says. Well, it doesn't say Paul. So I say the writer of Hebrews. If it's Paul, good job, buddy. I know you're looking. But it doesn't matter to me. What matters is it one of the witnesses that's telling me the truth? And if he's telling me the truth, he's pointing me to the cross and he's pointing me to Christ as my resurrection. And that's it. But he doesn't even stop there. He's said all that. He's taken the time. He's spelled it out. But now he wants to just go one more step. He goes, okay, well, let's talk about Jesus. I mean, him, literally Jesus, how he lived and how he did it. So the next, let us run the race with the, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, comma. Oh, we didn't finish the sentence. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because what is he authoring and what is he trying to finish in us? A oneness with him that is of the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And one heart, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's resurrection. Do you see it? It's exactly what every one of them went through. It's death and resurrection. And now it says, look, we got all of these guys. We got this great cloud of witness, but let's not look at them anymore. I don't want you looking at them. Let's look at Jesus. Why? Because when you look at them, you get encouraged. When you look at Jesus, you're changed into that same image from glory to glory. Woo! Now that's what we want. So let's look to Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, and he's authoring this faith in me. And glory to God, it just makes me want to spin like this. He's authoring and he's finishing. He's not just a beginner, he's a finisher. It's like some basketball team or something. You know, it's like you start something and you finish it. Jesus, I don't care how flaky you are, Jesus is an author and a finisher. So don't give up. On what? Him. You say, but I feel like I'm going to give up on myself. Yay. Well, I mean, you know, that's what you need. Yeah, but it's hurtful. Yay, that's what you need. You need to see how flaky you are. You need to see that. I don't want to see it. It's ugly. Oh, it's worse than you think. Because I know what I'm talking about, because I remember when the Lord was bringing me through Romans 7, and I said, I got to a real bad place, and I have this honest truth. And I said, Lord, please reveal Christ in me now. I'm ready. I want Christ revealed in me. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. And he said, oh, no, you're not. I mean, it's like I was like on the lid scraping. And he's going, oh, you got a lot more down to go, baby. And I had no clue when he said it other than the way he said it. I went, oh, boy, because I'm in my mind, I was really, I mean, I'm like trying to convince him to reveal Christ now because surely I'm at the bottom of the barrel. And he's going, oh, you have no clue what you're full of. There's a lot of emptying out yet. All right. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Well, what is that talking about? What is it talking about? Well, it's talking about Jesus went through all of this knowing for the joy that was set before him. He said, you know what? I'm going to be able to go to heaven and I'll be honored by the angels and the Father will really like me, and I'll get everything I want. Oh, wait a minute. I already had all that. I had all that before this. Right? I gave that up for something greater. Well, am I right or wrong? But I mean, we apply that to us, and we go, yeah, for the joy of heaven and the happiness of, you know, angel dust falling from their wings on me. I'm going to go through this so that I can be happy for a change. Is that it? I mean, is that it? The joy, folks, was that he was going to get a bride. The joy is that we were going to be his body. The joy is we would be the resurrection, if you understand what I mean. The harvest. You get it? Now, he's the seed, but we're the harvest. But, I mean, that really is the case. Because the harvest is a great, grand harvest. It's his body, but it's Christ in every one of us. Or it's not true harvest. It's chaff. It's not seed. The seed is Christ. And so the joy for him. I mean, picture him getting a bride that's after his kind. It's not just getting a bride. He's not just going, well, let's see. I mean, I got a whole world. Let me pick one. Let's see. You seem kind of nice. He is looking for one that's going to be after his kind. One that will be just like Esther, you know. I mean, so many examples throughout the scriptures where you're a foreigner and you're brought in to the king and all that he is. And all of a sudden, Christ has what is a replicating nature of him being reflected through her. He never had that in Israel. He married Israel. God married Israel. He also divorced her. Did you know that? Well, can't be a minister if you're divorced. God can't be God then. Well, that's the law. We don't even know what this thing is based on. It's based on Christ. And it's based on reality as he knows it, not reality as religion has told us. Yeah. Okay? So all he wants from you is your heart to say, when the heart turns along, your heart to say, yes, Lord. So how do you follow Jesus? One yes at a time. Just when it comes up and it's time to say yes again. Don't get overwhelmed. It just, you know, when I see people get overwhelmed, I just want to go over and just shake them and then just hug them real tight and tell them it's going to be okay. It's true, because there's a combination. One is, get that stuff off of you. Lay aside all that. I mean, I can't help that because I do that to me harder than I do it to y'all. Way harder. I don't let myself up. I don't. No! You know. But then there is that heart of the Lord that is in me as a shepherd that says, I have to protect you. I must cover you until you can make this journey all the way. So on one hand, I want to spank you. On the other hand, I just want to hug you and cover you until Christ be formed in you. So, sometimes when I preach, I'm nice. And sometimes when I preach, I'm not. Does that make sense? All right, let's finish this thing. Good Lord. All right. So it's saying, looking unto Jesus, he'll author and finish this faith. He, for the joy of having that which was after his kind in resurrection, went through the cross when he didn't have to, when he had everything, and he put it all down for us. Amen? And he, not only that, but he endured the cross. He despised the shame. You know, we can say, well, I despise this. He didn't despise it as if it was something away from him. It was on him. It was... He was counted as a criminal and as an outcast and as a scapegoat. There's no way to describe these things. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's resurrection. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. That verse 3 harkens back to Hebrews 10, verse 32 to the end of chapter 10. Now, when you get a chance, read it. Read that. See what he says Jesus went through, and Jesus in you can go through it again. unless you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto sons, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, not neighbor kids, every son whom he receives. His chastening is not rejection. It is receiving you. All right. We can go on, couldn't we? We could go ahead and say, well, let's go another. But we can't. Yeah. Okay, let's shut the equipment off and let me say something to you.